When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune in to this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
That was all right. Hey, everybody.
You're never satisfied.
Because I never do it right.
You're a perfectionist.
I never do it right.
We actually, you rehearsed this time. I heard you going through the chords.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you didn't screw it up
I was
royally.
Trying to make sure that I didn't.
Yeah.
Totally bollocks it up.
Yeah.
You know what this is?
That's a bottle opener
a
right
bottle
there.
Bottle opener. You know what this is?
That's a bottle?
Yeah. What'd you bring us, Larry?
I brought you a Red Betty.
Oh, Red Betty, bam, bam, oh, Red Betty.
I looked very quickly because I was running a little behind for anything I had never seen or tried before.
This is nice.
And I love the label.
It's a beautiful label. A woman wearing silk stockings and red pumps and a tight
You got
top
Sam interested.
And a...
just in the description.
A loose skirt. She's riding legs spread on a bike.
It's a retro style kind
like
of logo.
A pin-up. Like a
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Betty Page kind of
Red so, Betty yeah. IPA.
Red Betty Northwest IPA.
IPA.
6.5% alcohol by volume. Where's this place?
I didn't think they'd kick our ass too much.
Brewed by Central City in Surrey, British Columbia. How about that?
Yeah, so when they say Northwest, they're talking I was thinking Washington State or Oregon at some point, but no.
Oh,
we're
nice.
Going way up there. Oh, that's pretty.
That's for you, Sam. By the way, I'm Andy Chanley. That's Sam Farmer right over here. And Larry Morgan is joining me over here. Josh Fligger's on assignment.
Yes, he is. So, Josh, this one's for you.
This is a Josh.
We all
pour
get
out the rest for Josh.
No, we do not. We don't like Josh that much.
Is that like thirdsies? Is there a little more over here? Might as well
just a touch. That's perfect.
Spread this around.
All right. Good, good, good.
Which is what she said.
Well, that's what Red Betty said there on the label.
Because it doesn't mean anything. here you go.
Here we go.
Oh, God, it's been so long since we had a beer episode.
Yeah, I know.
Nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's creamy and smooth.
Oh, that's
very
different
smooth
than I expected.
Yeah.
Boy, and that says IPA. That doesn't taste like a traditional IPA.
Not real hoppy.
A red IPA.
A style of ale fashioned to survive the long voyage from England to India during the British colonization. I didn't know I was going to read about history. This award-winning IPA is about hops, hops, and more hops. This ale has an intense aroma and a long, lingering finish. A beer for the connoisseur. Oops, wrong crowd. This is the Brewmaster's Choice. Cheers, Central City.
Welcome back to Southern California, Samuel Farmer.
Yes,
thank you.
World traveler. And you look very well preserved, I might say.
Yeah.
We're talking to Sam. It's been just, it's been a week since the Super Bowl. And you were at the Super Bowl. And you were at the NFL honors or whatever, that
yes.
A thing before, a couple of days before.
The awards. That was the night before, yeah.
Somebody sends me a photo. It's like, hey, is this Sam? Is this your friend Sam? You in the audience with Paige.
Paige and I were laughing. They
you were one of the cutaways.
Rob Riggle was the comedian, and I sort of lost it on one of his jokes. I think he was talking about Ben. Oh, I know he was talking about Ben McAdoo, the sort of slick back, greasy looking coach of the former coach of the New York Giants.
Yeah.
And I believe the line was, Ben McAdoo looks like the kind of guy who goes to the strip club, but mostly for the buffet. and I sort of put my head in my hands and I started laughing, and that was one of the cutaways. Me laughing at that. Yeah, so.
How proud was Paige? That was the joke that you were
Paige, laughing. Actually, Paige was laughing too. So we were both laughing, but it's funny the people around us were sort of, stone-faced. And I don't know. I was just the most immature person they could find in the audience.
Those shows are always interesting because there is the crowd who, I mean, most of the time it's like roasting other people, and a lot of the time roasting people that aren't there. And there is half the crowd that's going, don't react, don't react. Yeah, because you don't want to play along on that one. Like Ben McAdoo's their best friend or something.
Well, they did three cutaways. They cut to Eli Manning.
Right.
They showed Eli Manning, then they showed Odell Beckham, and then they showed me laughing hysterically.
And let me guess, the first two were stone-faced.
Yeah, these two guys
faced.
Who played for the Giants, played for McAdoo, they were stone-faced, and I was laughing hysterically, falling out of my seat.
You got no dog in that hunt, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The two players that played on the team, stone-faced and stoic, and then the guy that's the impartial
player right down the middle need to get Ben McAdoo on the phone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
So, can you – I've got a number of things I want to ask you about. First of all, about the Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
Right.
This Super Bowl, what do you – or excuse me, big game.
Oh, you're fine. No, you're talking about it as a news event. It's fine.
What are your thoughts, Sam, about Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake, I glanced up a couple of times from my computer to see what was going on there.
Oh, wow.
I actually had a feeling when he came out, we went to the press conference. Paige and I went to the halftime press conference. Sometimes those are very good. Prince, for instance, played a song for us reporters. The Who... played a song.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, I got it on my phone. I'll find that for you.
That's great.
And then others they just do a press conference. Bruce Springsteen did a press conference, and Paul McCartney did a press conference. So Justin Timberlake did this press conference, and at it he said, I'm going to do something special that you've probably never seen before. So I thought, well...
Janet Jackson's right tit?
Yeah. So I said at the time, I bet it's a hologram, and I bet it's Prince.
Right, Minneapolis.
Right. And an homage to Prince and a hologram. This was my guess. Because I'd seen the hologram that was the Tupac one. And in fact... There was an homage to Prince that just dropped a bed sheet with light and did that. But that's because
an enormous bed sheet, admittedly.
I think hours
which
before.
Which is what I imagine his bed sheets were.
That's probably what
exactly. Yeah. I think that hours before he had nixed the hologram, but he had planned to do a hologram with Prince, so that's about the one time I predicted something correctly. So anyway, that was...
And by the way, at one point, as a side note, didn't Prince write a fight song for the Vikings at one point?
Yes, vaguely.
Let me see if I can find that while you continue to talk.
Remember that. I know that Paul McCartney came either right after Justin Timberlake or a couple years after. And my friend Brian McCartney, who does the... sort of the MC of those press conferences, went out, met McCartney backstage, and he's going to take him out, and he realizes McCartney has his fly undone, all the way undone. And so Brian, who's with the NFL, a great guy, said, "Sir Paul, you've got a wardrobe malfunction." And this is right in the... And he said, "Sure enough, I do." So he said every time... He saw the guy after that, and it was multiple times. McCartney thanked him for not letting him go on stage with his pants fully unzipped.
Yeah. I mean,
Brian tells it better, but it's kind of funny.
Is this it? No, this can't be it. Oh, that's crap. I could swear, though, I'm not going to be able to find it now. Somebody's going to find it. You know who's going to find it? Aaron Au is going to find it, and he's probably going to post it on Your Artificial Friends on Facebook. But if I'm not mistaken, he did a theme song, like, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, for the Vikings.
That makes sense. I do remember there was something like that.
They love him.
They do.
Purple and Gold in 2010. Is it composed? That's what it says.
Well, shit.
Okay, I'm going to edit this out.
Purple?
Right?
No.
Just make this backwards for a second.
Purple and gold. Purple and gold. You know, I got that dig, and I didn't appreciate it, Larry. Purple and gold, Prince.
It never became a hit. It was never made a staple at Minnesota Vikings games. And Prince Labyrinth, and in Prince Labyrinthine discography. Woo! There we go.
That's not Prince.
That's not him.
That's not Prince. Boy, anyway, somebody's going to find it. I'm not going to. The last thing we need is a third.
We're on a wild
Viking
goose chase here.
Jesus. Yeah. So anyway, your other impressions of the game?
Oh, I thought it was so so exciting for the. You know, it's funny. I was thinking the Patriots did an amazing thing. when they won the AFC Championship game, they created a pop-up network 24 hours a day called the Not Done Network, and it had a logo that looked like the NFL Network logo, and they set it up in the Mall of America where we were located, the media, thousands of media types in the Mall of America, and they called it the Not Done Network, and I thought, well, maybe Eagles should come up with one, the Yes You Are. Oh, Yes You Are Network. it was a...
So that's what the not done flag like was that they brought out
right.
at the beginning?
We're not done.
We're not done.
Dominating the league.
And oh, I thought cheating. I thought you were going to say cheating. Oh.
So, yeah. so I spent part of my time out there and spent part of my time downtown. Saw some good concerts. You know, I tried to do a whole week without going to a press conference. That was my... thing. I wanted to, so because
well,
it's the Holy
Grail.
That's
how you get a better. That's how you get a better feel for the city, for the people. Instead, it's like going to North Korea and just going to the rooms that they want to show
exactly.
you and seeing those things. If you get off the track a little bit, you're going to meet people, have real experiences,
yeah.
and that's the story. People don't want to read the prepackaged press.
Yeah,
they want to read.
Everybody's going to have their Tom Brady story. And we're talking in the thousands of people. Everybody's going to have their Nick Foles story, very good story, or their Chris Long story, or whatever. I wanted to do stories that nobody was doing. And so I tried to compound a whole week of stories that nobody was doing. And I think I got three good ones. Now, one, a few people did, but not many. As soon as I got to Minneapolis, I drove to a place called Browerville, Minnesota, and first thing in the morning, Monday morning, because I knew that Tom Brady's grandparents had a farm there, and that's where Brady would spend 2 weeks every August. It's where he learned to milk cows, fish, hunt, do all that
Tom
stuff.
Tom Brady knows how to milk a cow?
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding? That all-American boy? Sure he
so,
does.
So I drove up there cold.
He killed him
so
a bar
speak.
When he was only three.
You know?
No,
and
different guy.
It was like ice station zebra driving up there, and you drive by these lakes with the ice fishing huts on them and everything.
Right,
and
which is a really bad idea. On a side note, making a little cabin out on frozen ice where you can go ice fishing and you drill a little hole and then having a fire inside there,
yeah, exactly.
as many of them do. It doesn't seem smart.
Yeah, and your pickup. Parked right outside, and then they drive right out on that ice. So I rolled into this little town, Browerville, population 790, went into the grocery store, talked to the guy, to the owner of the grocery store, and he was my age, and he said, yeah, I'm Pickle, who's Tom Brady's cousin.
Yeah. Pickle?
Yeah. Pickle Johnson, his name was. Okay.
My old nickname.
which I believe was the nickname for that Yosemite Sam tattoo.
Two dildos.
Wow.
The grocery store owner's daughter, Stacia, worked at the high school where Tom Brady's mom was homecoming queen. 1962. Wow. So I introduced myself. He sent me up to the high school to his daughter. The superintendent was there. He had the 1962 yearbook and laid it open for me. And I took pictures of the pages of Tom Brady's mom as homecoming queen. And then met a couple of the Johnson family members. That's the maiden name of Tom Brady's mom. And
the Pickle Johnson family.
Yes. They all have nicknames. I'm Swede.
Oh,
I'm Swede too.
Oh, it's a nickname.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in the Bible. Pickle.
Yes.
And Jehoshaphat said unto Pickle. I don't think it's.
Okay, what are we going to call him, honey?
Anyway, so I did that story. Then the next story I did, a friend of mine, Neil Elitrage, great guy. He's a. He's a surgeon in L.A. He's kind of the surgeon of the stars. I mean, looks like he walked off the set of General Hospital. He's done lots of – he did Tom Brady's knee in 2008, reconstructed his knee. And so they became very close, I would say even best friends. Well, Neil Elitrage's brother-in-law is Sylvester Stallone. And so when I got home that night from Browerville – Neil said, I'm going over to Sly's house in Beverly Hills. And I said, can you get him on the phone with me? Because then I've got the quintessential Tom Brady guy, Patriots guy,
right.
And Mr. Philadelphia, who are brothers-in-law.
Right.
And so they were tremendous.
That's smart.
Stallone was great.
You know, you're pretty smart.
Yeah.
So Stallone was great. He was great and talked about why he didn't come to the game, why he wasn't coming to the game. Really felt like he'd be jinxing the team and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wow.
But he was very good. And then for the third story that was different, I noted one time that it was an NFL stat that Bill Belichick has seven Super Bowl rings. Seven Super Bowl rings, five with the Patriots and two as an assistant coach with the Giants.
Sure.
There's another guy named Neil Dolan in Denver who has seven Super Bowl rings. Nobody knows him. He was a front office employee with the 49ers for all five Super Bowls there.
Wow.
Then went to Denver and won two more Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So he's got seven Super Bowls. And so I got a hold of him and how he and Belichick were tied for the most.
He was
very
funny.
Famous. But he was
and
great.
And still are.
He told a great story about it. I said, he said, well, seven is always my lucky number. He said, I was a Mickey Mantle fan growing up, so he was number seven. So
cool.
I was always. So he said, I, throughout my adult life, every day I've kept seven coins in my pocket that equal 77 cents. And so the fact that I have.
What?
Yeah, that I have, the fact that I have two or seven Super Bowl rings is poetic. And at the end of the call, I'm going through and I said, okay, it's Neil, N-E-A-L, right? Dolan, D-A-H-L-E-N. How old are you, Neil? He said, I'm 77. I said, this is too good. This is too good. So I did that story. But the only question I had to ask this whole thing that week was I needed to get Brady on Neil Elitrage. And so Brady and Neil are very close, but very few people around the country know who Neil Elitrage is, unless you know about who does surgeries. And so I'm way far away from the state, because Brady, people pack in an hour beforehand and position their cameras and everything. So now I am like 40 feet from where he's talking. He's basically conducting an interview with three people, because there's the three people to his right, reporters, and then this thick phalanx of cameras surrounding the dais there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said, screw it. And I said, Tom, I yelled, got his attention. I said, can you tell me what Neil Elitrage has meant to your career? And it was, I had been planning to write this story for a couple days later. And he said, well, Neil's great, blah, blah, blah. I mean, so much to me. He's a mentor to me. He said, and I know his brother-in-law, Sly, is rooting against me. And I thought, oh, my God, he just blew the story. Now everybody's going to have it.
Right.
So I turned to Bill Plaschke at my place, and I said, I got to write this story for tomorrow, now that I have the jump on it. And so he blew the cover, but nobody
Nobody followed up?
Nobody followed up on who Sly would be.
Right.
But little did they know it was Sylvester Stallone, and he was tremendous.
So, and you ended up having the quote about
exactly.
Sly.
Exactly. So he perfectly. Gave me everything I could possibly use, and then texted me after. I'll show you. Elvis told me not to name drop. Tom Brady texted me after and said, hey, if you need anything else on this, I'm happy to help. So he loves Neil Alatraj. So it was really a neat thing. Let's see if I got this. Here we go. Hi, Sam. Just got to this message. I texted him. Did you get what you needed from me yesterday? Or is there anything else I can help with? Have a great week.
So that's
nice. Wow. That was nice.
I just had to work out on paper what 7 coins would add up to 77 cents.
No, I don't have the brain for it.
I bet it's two quarters.
Go ahead. What do you think it is?
My guess.
It could be various.
Two quarters, two dimes, a nickel, two pennies.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
But I was trying to pay attention to you while you were talking.
And calculating.
And do that at the same time, and it was, yeah. And I've had beer.
I'm not very good at math, but I just figured it was a random sampling of coins.
And yeah. I wanted to make sure it wasn't,
either that or 1 71-cent coin. And
50-cent piece. Is there another possibility? Could you have a 50-cent piece?
That's what I was trying to figure out.
A 50-cent piece.
Because otherwise he would have been very specific when he said it. But
3 nickels. So that would get you
that's
4.
That's 4.
A
65,
dime.
75.
And 2 pennies.
And 2 pennies.
It's got to be 2 pennies. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6,
yeah.
7.
So that's 2.
50,
so
60.
Any combination
7,
of the other 5.
Yeah, so there's 2 combinations that would do that. How about that? I bet you could get there another way through more dimes.
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a fun Super Bowl. It was great. Great to see the Eagles sort of mix it up a little bit. Enjoyed myself.
It really was a fun game to watch. And even my friends who are dyed-in-the-wool Patriots fans, obviously you're not happy that the season ends with a loss, but even they're like, oh, my God, what a game.
Yeah.
It was just
so
enjoyable.
Nick Foles was so good afterwards.
That's a great story. That's such a good story.
I don't know if you saw what he said the day after.
Yeah.
When he was talking about social media and everything.
Hmm.
There's a quote I took. I
saw the letter that you posted.
Yeah. Did you read that?
Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
About failure and,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
how you look at somebody else's social media and you think, and that's basically a highlight reel of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, I must be failing because my life isn't as fun as that. But you don't really take into account that they're just showing you the good things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you don't.
I thought it's not brand new, but hearing it from a guy who uses that podium at that time, that platform, to lift other people up, I think is pretty telling.
Yeah. And that feeds into the false body myth thing that you'll see in fashion magazines where, young girls will look at that and say, I'm supposed to look like that. And even when you see someone, hey, no makeup, and, they still look perfect and filtered and whatever. To have someone say, that's not reality. And Facebook isn't reality. I didn't put on Facebook the day I lost my temper and yelled at my kids. Mm-hmm. You don't put those things on.
Exactly.
You only put the good stuff. So
I think in raising teenagers, you become increasingly isolated and insulated because there's a I just have a theory about that. I think that when your kid is 3 years old and draws on the wall, you laugh about it on Facebook and you put it on Facebook and say, ha ha, that little rascal, whatever.
You do?
Your kid gets in more trouble when they get a little older.
Oh, right, yes.
Or become, the trouble becomes a little bit more serious or a little bit... I think
when you think they should know better.
You don't put that on Facebook, and then you sort of circle the wagons as a family, and all you're bombarded with is every other family whose kid is getting a valedictorian and they posted their...
Sure.
And I think that creates a greater sense of isolation. and you realize that, you know, it sort of reinforces the notion that you're the only one out there going through this. And so it can be a damaging thing, I think.
Yeah.
When you got back from your trip to Los Angeles, and, you know, this podcast started right after I got the boot from 100.3
before,
The Sound.
In fact.
And when Sam did too, in fairness. Yeah, but just before, right around that time. When you got back, and we won't make you go on the record too much about it, but the newspaper got sold. And now you have a new owner. The richest man in Los Angeles owns the newspaper. And it sounds to me like he's someone who, what was the quote I heard someone say yesterday on KNX? Said that he wants to make this paper the voice of California, not just the voice of Los Angeles. And he's someone who values journalism and feels like this market is wide open to have a voice of California.
Yeah, that's exciting. You know, you look around, you look Jeff Bezos buying the Washington Post and other billionaires who don't immediately spring to mind. John Henry bought the Boston Globe, and these sort of local people investing, recognizing the value and brand of a place like the Los Angeles Times, and wanting to invest in that. And this sort of intrinsic value and the fact that it's this public trust, people want to, you got to have a good, strong, I believe, newspaper.
And that's not, I mean, you're probably not going to talk bad about your previous ownership, but, you know, when you have
we're still our current owners.
Yes. But, so I'll do it for you.
He hasn't turned in his expenses for that Super Bowl trip yet.
But when you're owned by a soulless corporation who basically has their fingers in a bunch of different pies or has to spread, you know, spread it out over a number of different places, their priority is not on the individual market or the individual place, and it's more about consolidating and where do we overlap services and that sort of thing. And for somebody to, for a guy to own one newspaper because they wanted to focus on that community or that state or whatever it is, that bodes really well, I think.
Yeah, you'd like to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just liked it. I guess what I'd say about that is Sam Farmer's microphone is not working.
That's why
thank you, Larry Morgan.
That's why I said it.
No, I appreciate it.
Uh-oh. Artist and title.
This is The Night Chicago Died by Paper Lace.
Nicely done.
That's pretty good.
And Paper Lace.
I did that with a drum.
Billy Don't Be a Hero, too. Did they do
Paper Lace? No, that's Bo Donaldson.
No. Paper Lace did something else.
They did do...
What did they do?
They did do Billy Don't Be a Hero as well. They did
Paper Lace
they
did?
They did a version of it, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But yeah, this
was... I remember this.
This is also... I think they're also like a British band, and they're singing about Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Al Capone.
Have you watched the bill?
Watch the video, quote unquote, or live performance of this. It's pretty funny.
Then there's Genesis who did Paper Late.
Yes. Which is a great song.
Which is a good song.
Yeah,
which is a nonsense name.
Paper Late. But,
I mean,
doesn't mean anything.
Also, but we're talking about the man who came up with Susudio. So. Yeah.
And Abacab.
Yeah.
Right. He was making his own language. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Well, they're doing demos, and then they decide, oh, yeah, let's just call it that. Who wants to come up with a better thing? Let's move on.
Well, the Abacab there is a studio. Or Paper Late.
I'm sorry?
Which one?
Well, Abacab is actually based on the
they were writing out the
treble,
movements of
the clef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was you know, like,
oh, that's
and,
right.
And
yeah,
you'll
yeah.
have you know, in a piece of classical music, you'll have A, B, you know.
Oh, it's a rhyme scheme, right?
No, it was the tempo and time signature of, you know, and melody of what they were doing.
Of that song.
So you have one movement and then you go to the chorus and then you do, so this was A, B, A, C, A, B at one point, but I think it ended up like Abba Babble or something, if you really had it. It's like
no
the cover of the Beatles' Help. You know, they're holding out the semaphore flags.
Right.
And you think they're spelling out help, right?
Right.
They're actually spelling out Nujv. N-U-J-V. I'm going to go inside and get the other beer.
Oh, okay.
Let's play a little Billy Don't Be a Hero.
Okay, I'll put that on before I go here. I loved Billy Don't Be a Hero when I was a kid.
I loved Night Chicago Died. It was great.
Paper Lace did a cover of Billy Don't Be a Hero.
I never knew that.
Yeah, you should look that up. Let's see what it sounds like.
Here, Larry.
Yeah.
This fader right here controls this song. I'm going to go inside and get the other beer.
Is this Paper Lace?
No, this is...
the original?
This is the original version. And who is this? This is Bo Donaldson and the Haywood. Am I getting that right? Yeah, Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods.
Okay. What was the...
They get to the part where he catches the ball.
What was the Billy Jack song?
Oh, Billy Jack. One Tin Soldier. By Coven?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
Billy Jack was great.
Billy Jack. I remember somebody telling me about Billy Jack because I think that was an R-rated movie.
A real person. It was R-rated, I think, in the beginning.
And I was too young to see it, but somebody in my class had gotten to go see it. And all they could describe was the sex parts. Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated by this.
So what was your first R-rated movie?
Oh, that's a really good question. I remember what it was. The End, directed by Burt Reynolds and starring Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh, I almost bought that today.
Did you really?
Yeah. I had an R-rated triple feature.
Wait, what were we just talking about?
Billy Jack. By the way, I don't know if this counts, but as I was growing up, HBO became a thing, and they were showing. Foamed that baby up.
That's a foamy baby.
Yeah. If you're going to have a backup career as a bartender, you need to practice this.
You're going to be waiting a while for that one.
We went to Prague. You've been to Prague?
I've not.
Have you been? My
son's been to Prague.
You can order beers. They drink more beer in the Czech Republic than any country per capita in the world.
Yeah.
And you can order, this is one way to order beers. Almost all foam.
And the reason is why?
I don't know. You can just, if you want your last beer of the night and you just want to have the S-O to beer, So you can order on the, no head, slight head,
complete
all head.
Yeah.
Big head.
When I was the first time I went to London, like all the pubs were serving Staropramen, a beer from Czech Republic that was all the rage. It kind of reminded me of a European Budweiser, but it was fine. It was good.
Yeah. So your first R-rated movie?
I don't remember. I wouldn't.
I was going to say I was watching HBO at a friend's house and I got to see a foreign film, Cousin Cuisine.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And had no interest in foreign films at that time, but I knew there were boobs in it. And we waited about 40 minutes to get there.
Was 10 R-rated?
Yeah.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That might have been it. On HBO, I remember when it was 82, 83.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. What about you?
I saw
the triple feature.
Triple feature. I can only remember two of the movies, but... one was Boy and His Dog, starring Don Johnson.
Oh, right.
Like that was R-rated?
Yeah.
And Death Race 2000, which
Death
I still
Race
love
2000.
That. Still love that movie. Yeah. With Sylvester Stallone in it,
wow.
too.
Wow.
And David Carradine. It was a classic. Yeah. I should ask Sylvester Stallone about Death Race 2000.
Oh, shoot.
But Adam Carolla had... was going over to Sylvester Stallone's house. He said, I'm going over there, and all I want to ask him about is Cobra. We're talking about Cobra for a half hour with him. That's all I want to talk about. And apparently they did. They're both.
I got to meet, when I was in at USC Film School, there was a groundbreaking ceremony for the new, quote, new film school. Mm-hmm. which I barely got to work in, and which isn't even the new one
anymore.
At USC.
The new one is the...
The new one is not the new one that I saw the groundbreaking for. That one's now been relegated to the music department. The new one, the Lucas edifice
that has
been built, that's just within the last few years. But when I got there in 1980, we were still working out literally out of the same World War II era bungalows that George Lucas had worked in, and there was still graffiti on the wall that he had put there. And John Milius
was there. American graffiti on the side. What? See what I did? Did you see what I did?
Anyway, so my freshman year, there was a groundbreaking ceremony for a new, because the film school had suddenly become very well known because of those guys.
Sure.
And Spielberg to a certain extent, even though he didn't go to USC. And there was a groundbreaking ceremony with George Lucas and Steven Spielberg and Robert Zemeckis. And not a lot of people even knew who Zemeckis was at that time, but he was a graduate.
Is this in the 60s?
1980. This is 1980. Of course, it was every nerd in the world trying to get around. Lucas bailed immediately. He shoved a shovel in the dirt, turned it over, and went, "See ya." He just didn't want to talk. He's shy. Spielberg hung around, and every nerd in the world was around him, you know, peppering him with Close Encounters questions and things. And I talked about one of the other first R-rated movies I ever saw, Sugarland Express, which was his first feature-length film. Goldie Hawn is in it. And he was so excited to talk about something that nobody else was asking him about. And I just said, "I'm from Texas, and I saw Sugarland Express, and I thought that was a great movie." And we actually talked about where it was shot, and I got his autograph and everything. And then I saw Robert Zemeckis standing around the fountain over by the Norris Cinema Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew who he was, but I knew who he was. And at that point, he had only directed, I think, the movie Used Cars, if you remember that one.
Yeah, very good.
And I Want to Hold Your Hand. He hadn't done Back to the Future. I mean, none of that yet. He had written 1941 for Spielberg, which was a big bomb. And I went over, and he was literally kind of kicking the dirt by himself, going, "Oh, someday maybe they'll be know who I am." And I talked to him and just had a conversation about, he said, film school, way more competitive than the actual industry. It's like you get out and you get in the industry. It's like, oh, this is so much easier than the cutthroat world of film school. And I thought that was fascinating.
That's funny.
I have both their autographs still. I saved those. Huh. I'm the only autographs I've ever asked for from anybody.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And Robert Zemeckis is one of them?
Yeah, because he looks so lonely.
Aw.
Yeah.
What autographs have you asked for?
Huh.
Yeah, I don't see you as somebody. You've met so many people. It feels weird to ask for
it,
them.
It does. Well, I'm trying to think
I've
if
never
I
been
ever
into that.
Asked for anybody's, other than if an artist would come into a station where I was working and they would be signing an album or whatever. And
you ended up with it?
And ended up with one or, that kind of thing. So the only one that comes to mind is when it was just after Tuesday Night Music Club had come out.
Sheryl Crow.
Yeah. I'm in Indianapolis at X103, and she comes in to visit the station, and she was virtually unknown at that point, right? And she said, "Who do you want me to sign this to?" And I said, "To your eternal love kitten." And she looks up at me, gives me a side eye like, no. She writes, "To my eternal ?" XOX or whatever, Sheryl Crow. I have it over there somewhere in that stack of
that's
shit.
Great.
But people that.
I was never into autographs.
I asked.
By the way, this beer is not great.
It's all right.
Quickly, this is it's not bad. It's Stone. It's called a Brett IPA. It says enjoy after July 4th, 2016. So it's a
enjoy year, after. Year,
after.
Yeah, we're well after.
Cellar and IPA, ? Yes. Anyway, it's a little floral, little cloying, but can I top you
maybe,
up, Sam?
Maybe it's...
I think I'm good.
Maybe we should have had that first instead
of
the,
well,
kind
this
of
might
the stronger
have ruined your,
hoppy
ruined
flavor.
Your palate. And maybe
you
guess. Overflowed his head.
Making me suck the head.
I remember I asked for...
Larry just asked
John
for
Denver's autograph. I was.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was a kid in seventh grade. I was working in Boulder, Colorado, the Red Zinger, a bicycle race, which eventually became the Coors Classic, and I was a Red Zinger race marshal, where I just basically, we get a T-shirt and you use your bike pump to tell people to get their feet up on the curb. And I asked for John Denver's autograph, and he rejected me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've heard he was a bit of a hard ass.
Yeah, he rejected me, and I...
He seems so nice in the Oh God movies.
But, yeah, right.
And someone else said, of all the people in the music industry, watch out. John Denver will kick your ass. He could do it. Like he knew martial arts.
He had a reputation for being a bit of a scrapper. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. He looked so nice on the Muppet special.
He looked so nice in the Muppet stuff. But I guess he was a bit of a, you know, it's along that Price is Right. Barker.
Bob Barker.
Yeah, really, you know, knew martial arts, and I think it was, Marshall, Texas Ranger, or whatever his name is.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Right.
What's his name? Red hair, beard.
Yeah, we all know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
At one point, somebody asked him.
Wow. This,
the beer really
it, beer's not good, but it's strong.
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris!
Right. Chuck Norris has asked one time, you know, like, who, you know, obviously you're a martial arts expert. Who else in Hollywood is someone that you know, people should take note of for that. He said, "You won't believe it, Bob Barker will kick your ass."
Wow.
Yeah. Well, so, and then he does. Well, Happy Gilmore.
Well, I was going to say he beat the hell out of Adam Sandler. But
Price is wrong, bitch.
So I had a bunch of ski racers on posters in my room in Boulder. That was my room was that. So I went around and signed all of them to me.
You signed them?
Yeah. The Mayer brothers, Phil and Steve Mayer, I believe, signed, autographed some things for me.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
All of them had very similar autographs. The guy who set the world speed record, Steve McKinney, I think his name was, who was going in the Andes, world speed record, signed a poster to me. And I never met him.
No. But
never saw him, but he signed some stuff for me. That's amazing. I don't know why. Who I thought I was fooling. Only my parents would have seen this.
That's right. You were imagining someday.
Yeah.
These.
Exactly.
I remember when I was looking, you know, for what college I was going to go to, one of them was Rose Holman, which is in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Ooh,
it's
right.
An engineering college in Terre Haute, Indiana. And thinking, you know, the wild life that I had at Purdue and Lafayette, by comparison, what might it have been in Terre Haute? But they had a sense of humor about it. They put out posters, and it was someone wearing full ski jump, you know, speed skiing, slalom skiing gear, and they're out in this cornfield where there's snow, and I think there might have even been a cow in the background, and they're down like they're, you know, really killing it, and the picture was turned like 45 degrees, so it looked like he was going down
ski Terre Haute.
When Terre Haute's flat as a pancake. So that was, I was like, ski Terre Haute, go to Rose Holman. That was pretty good. What do you think about this beer?
It's fine. We probably should have had this first, and then I think
the other one would be more of a reward.
Yeah, it's a weird, it's got a weird aftertaste.
It's a little cloying. It's a little, maybe somebody dropped a couple of drops of perfume in there. After the fact.
You're not, you know what? You don't get to pick the beer anymore. You've had one completely ruined one that you brought out. And then.
You know what, Larry? I'm going to let you bring the beer every time.
Well, okay. Wait a minute.
I'm going to find a couple beers. I'm going to go to Galco's it's not in Eagle Rock.
Oh,
well, you better
I know
be
what you're
able
talking
to,
about.
The soda pop shop?
Well, yeah.
Yes, that place is
awesome.
It was on.
Wait,
but they got beers there?
California's Gold.
Yeah,
California's dope. Right. When
Hugh Hauser.
If you don't know who Hugh Hauser is, if you're listening to this anywhere but Southern California, you have no idea who Hugh Hauser is.
Mm.
Hugh Hauser was a local treasure. He did a show called California's Gold on the local PBS stations, mm-hmm. where he would go around California to different things. You know, like you have a ladybug farm. You mm-hmm. know, this guy would go and check. Yeah. And he was the biggest hayseed you'd ever imagine.
But all positive.
Yeah, it's like, so you come out.
Everything
and say,
was fascinating.
You mean to tell me that these ladybugs will go all over and they'll help gardens and farms and like just this wide-eyed wonder.
Yeah, there's a super cut of his reactions yeah. to things that is just fantastic.
It's so
because
good.
It's a lot of golly gee willikers yeah. and it's just that right. you know folksy jargon.
And it's part of the. Our adventure begins. That's part of the deal. And he went one time to that
to
Galco. Yeah.
yeah.
And at the time, it was, I think it was, they before they diversified, if I'm not mistaken, they had just the soda pop and candy. They had soda
right.
pop, and it was like every soda that you ever had when you were growing up as a kid, like this, you know, regional stuff
right.
that you would have had.
Stuff that
in,
you can't find
anymore. You can't find anymore.
Oh, these there, small brew sodas.
Yeah.
There are these companies that bought those recipes
right.
from those defunct companies and said, can we buy that from you and, you know, license it and we'll, you know, continue to make this stuff and they're like, and give you a share of it. You know, all right. So there were like 1,000 different kinds of
right.
soda in there. I never went.
Oh, that's great.
I would really like to know. But then yeah. they diversified the family into the craft beer, right?
Right. They've got some craft beers there. But really, they've got 4 or 5 aisles of, I mean, the root beers alone, they probably have 50 different types of root beer. And they've got, I mean, the ginger beer selection is huge. They've got
ginger beer. Let me do a Hughhauser real quick. But that's not the whole story, is it?
Excellent. So we have to have a field trip.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Oh man, I have, that is a, such a sense memory for me. We had an A&W in Odessa, Texas. That was a big treat. It was the whole, kind of like Sonic now, but it was the whole drive up to the little, you know,
right.
speaker,
yeah.
and you order your food in your car, but they would bring you the frosty mug of root
yeah.
beer.
They had yeah. one of those in Greenwood.
And clearly it's made differently now and whatever they've changed in the syrup, but there is such a sense memory of that smell, that taste, and that feel, that frosty mug. That's, and then you get a root beer float, and you get some vanilla ice cream in that. Oh!
I apologize. It wasn't A&W we had. We had Dog and Suds.
Oh, Dog and Suds. They've got that there, too.
Is that a chain?
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a chain in Indiana?
I think there were a couple of them. Somebody's going to correct me on this. Dog and Suds. It was one of those drive-in, those, you know, car mm-hmm. hops, where you drive in and... Oh, my God.
Man, I know. I know, right?
Now I need to go have a root beer float.
Yeah.
It's the best thing ever. You know who used to do...
Is there a Sonic around here?
No. But you know who used to do... oh, God help me. This is from my white trash past. Arby's.
Yeah?
Oh, God. Used to have something called a black cow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was basically a root beer float. Yeah.
Right.
Milkshake.
Root beer milkshake.
Root beer milkshake.
Right. Yeah. Drink your big black cow and get out of here.
Yeah. Well, maybe what we have to do is have a beer float at some point. Oh, that's a real thing.
I'm going
to
find this thing here and show you guys.
There's a podcast I listen to. John Hodgman does the Judge John Hodgman podcast. He always talks about Moxie soda. That was a big deal for him in the Northeast, apparently. And that's one of those very regional sodas that you can find now. And he's like... obsessed with it and I don't think I grew up with anything out of the ordinary except maybe RC Cola, which
oh yeah,
you know,
Royal
people,
Crown,
yeah, people reference that all the time.
Me and my RC,
yeah,
me and my RC,
RC
they
Cola
used to have commercials for
yeah
that.
Oh yeah, me and my RC, that's a great song. RC Cola,
what's
and
good
and
enough
moon
for
pies.
All the folks ain't good enough for me and my RC.
Oh yeah, the that was
dang. Butterscotch
root beer. Oh,
that sounds
good.
Great.
Here was the typical.
Can we go there now?
Can we do a root beer podcast?
Can you drive,
Sam? This is our booty from one run.
Oh, that looks good. Now let me ask you this: Faygo. Do they still make
Faygo? Hey! Yeah. You can't use that kind of language.
No, it's not like that.
Oh.
No, Larry, it's
I'm
not.
I'm looking here.
Not,
no.
This, but, you know, but cut that out.
Wasn't that
Frosty Blue Cream. I'm going to read a couple of these. Sweet Blossom Rose drink. Then the, you know, the Japanese drink where you drop the glass ball into the soda, you hit the top and the glass ball falls in.
Uh-oh.
Have you seen that?
That's like about.
Oh yeah, yeah, I gotta show you that. Oh, Nesbitt's peach, plantation style mint julep.
How many sodas are there? How many do you have right there?
Oh, this
in that picture, yeah.
Probably
eight?
Yeah, 10, something like that.
How much did that cost? Do you mind me asking?
They're all about $250.
Cool. Wow.
They're expensive. You know, it's an expensive
sure,
expensive
because
place.
It's craft.
But they've got
stuff
all
the
old candies too, Razzles, and those candies like Big Hunk and the buttons on the paper, you know those. Mm-hmm. The,
oh God, that, what a little nasty bullshit candy.
Oh, true. And you consume about
to work
half
so
the paper.
Hard to, yeah. Hey, my YouTube feed just knows me too well.
Gordon
Sundown
Lightfoot.
By Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, it's Gordon Lightfoot again.
Oh, God.
What is that about?
It's every time.
Is it
it's
telling us that we need to start a Gordon Lightfoot cover band? Is that what it's saying?
It's either Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald or Sundown. That's the only things that show up on my YouTube feed anymore.
I don't know what's going on.
I love that. I want to go to that store. I've been meaning to go. It's in Atwater Village?
Highland Park.
Highland Park.
Yeah, yeah, it's on York.
All right.
And tell me when you're going, I'll go with you.
We need to go. You know where else we need to go? Yeah. What is that deli, that German deli over in...
You know we're doing a podcast, right? Not just having a conversation about...
I thought that's what we do.
That's right.
Shiners is the name of...
Oh, yeah.
Shriners?
Shriners.
Shriners.
Right. That's right near our house.
Is it?
Yeah. It's
well,
like,
next time you come over here, bring me some... meat.
Well, why don't
I live with vegetarians?
Why don't we go over
there?
Why don't we go over there?
Okay.
What's your address, Sam? Tell us now on the podcast.
We live.
No, don't.
I will say that we live in the Spar Heights area of Glendale.
Why don't you give them your Twitter address? Let them know how they can get a hold of
you. That would be LA Times Farmer. Or sam.farmer@latimes.com. Very easy.
Until your soulless corporation fires you because of your
complicit
not soulless
nature.
In my book.
Uh-oh. Yeah, don't.
Oh, you suck up.
Don't do it.
I'm at Larry_Morgan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Give my best to intercom when you see him.
Suddenly my mic's not working. I can't hear anything.
Is this thing on? We're drunk.
I love. No, we're no, not yet. We're close.
It's always good to see you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah,
welcome back, Sam.
Welcome back,
Thank
Sam.
You.
We have missed you.
That's been fun.
So now what? You got nothing to do for the next 6 months?
No, I got to gear up for the scouting combine.
Oh,
so
get the scouting.
But I'm going to take a little time off here before the end of the month.
So you're going to Indianapolis for the combine?
Going to Indianapolis.
When is
yeah.
that?
That's they pushed it a little later, but it's the end of the month.
Of this month?
February, yeah.
Is it really? I always thought it was a little later. Now that they moved the draft until May?
I didn't look at the dates this year, but it's generally at the end of April, early May.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. You want to give a Super Bowl prediction for next year now, and then we can compare notes?
Wow.
Come on.
San Francisco.
What?
The Super Bowl. With Jimmy Garoppolo.
Really?
Wow. That's a team that really...
He just 5 years, $135. That's $27 million a year.
It is the most lucrative contract for the shortest amount of time of all time in the NFL.
It's not just unfair. It's...
That's a leap.
Unsmart.
Right, that's a leap.
That's a lot of money to put on somebody that's almost proven.
Yeah.
Well,
he just won the Super Bowl in my book.
You know what? L.A. Rams going to the playoffs
again
next year.
Oh, you know what? I should have said the Rams because the Rams are really on the rise. And
I got high hopes.
Coach of the
guys.
Year, defensive player of the year.
Did he win coach of the year?
Yep.
Good. I didn't hear that.
And an offensive player of the year in Todd Gurley. So
wow.
That's a team. Maybe I'll pick the Rams.
Yeah. I called that one.
Yeah.
Summer.
Yes, you did. I thought you were insane.
Like. The look, the withering look from Sam. Because I'm like, you know what? This team might not be that bad this year. He's looking like,
are you kidding?
You're unbalanced. What are you?
That was a great call.
Well, you know, even a broken clock is right.
You know what? Blow it out your ass, Larry.
I know
that head out your ass.
I know that's the beer talking, and you love me.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast where your artificial friends.
Now let's go out in the backyard and fight.
I'm down. I'm using this bottle, though.